All right. Good afternoon, everyone. You know, it's good, as I always say, to be in the house of the Lord for whatever time period that we come together with Him. It's always good to be with God. Isn't that right?
Amen.
It's always good. And this subject matter that we're dealing with, you know, strikes home, because I'm talking about what life is like for us in our own dwelling places, our own abodes, and deep down inside of us, who we are as we approach God. And, you know, I've been all over the world, and some places, some folks, you know, approach God pretty arrogantly, you know, and as if they're going to change God. But we can't change God. God has to change us.
Amen.
Because He's perfect and we're imperfect. Isn't that right?
Amen.
I asked a question earlier this week, and I want to ask the question of you as we began here this afternoon. What God do you serve?
The God that created the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that there is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. God of love.
Mm-hmm. She serves the God of the Bible.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Is he a God of culture or a God in culture?
Well,
see, that's a good biblical answer, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But you've got to go beyond that and dig inside of you to come up with who God is to you. And God to you might be a little different than God to me. Not unless we see God in the third dimension that I haven't mentioned yet. Because I want to talk about these first two. Who is God? Do you see God through your past? Do you see God through your present? Do you see God through your hereditary tendencies and the first thing to come our minds as it relates to what we perceive as being holy? Then God must be a part of it. Who is God? Well, I'm going to tell you that God is the God of the superculture. And when you understand the God of the superculture, as is laid out in the Bible, He's all things to all people. So God understands us no matter where we come from.
Amen.
And no matter what we've been through.
Amen.
And God has no respect of person. So when a hobo comes into our church smelling and sits down, we should not shun that person.
Amen.
But get as close to them as we possibly can.
Amen.
Because he is also God's child.
Amen.
So the God of a superculture says this: you're not good enough the way you are. You've got to change. So God is looking for each and every last one of us to change from what we are to what we should be. So therefore he says to us, that which is of the flesh is of the flesh. But that which is of the spirit is of the spirit. So we all need to be born again. Do you concur with that? So why do we resist change? Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. It takes us out of our comfort zone. So when I talk to you about being in a position to help others to agree with you 97% of the time, you see, I'm not talking about you and me the way we exist.
Mm.
I'm talking about us the way we should exist.
Yeah.
Amen.
So that means taking us out of our comfort zone.
Sure.
Change. Change for the better is always good.
Amen.
Mm.
Okay. Now that sets the premise for where I'm getting ready to go.
Yeah.
Read this with me.
The reality
of your relationship, along with your overall lifestyle and your relationship with yourself, are all intertwined.
Woo! You mean I have to work on getting me out of the way of God? Yeah. Yes. The self in me stands right in opposition to God. When you spell the word sin, what do you find in the middle? When you spell the word pride, what do you find in the middle? When you look at Satan being kicked out of heaven, what do you see as the reason? So if God got rid of him, why would he allow us up there? Have you ever asked that?
No.
Have you asked yourself that question? So in order for us to get there, we must get rid of pride, and the only way to get rid of it is to change. Wouldn't you agree? All right, well, listen at this then. Here's your next reality. Read this for me. You either what? You either do what? You are creating your reality, or you are what? What is the reality that I'm talking about? Distance instead of what?
Intimacy.
Help me, Jesus. I'm getting ready to get into relationships now. What is this one? Do you love to fight? Then get rid of the attitude if you want to be cooperative. What's this one?
Blame
and what?
Rejection.
As opposed to what?
Accountability and acceptance.
And the choice is yours.
Amen.
God just simply gives us the choice. He doesn't make us do any of this. If he made us do this, then he would be a dictator. So he's expecting us to accept him and to accept his reality. So this is your environment, whatever environment it is. This is your environment. This is you. Read it on.
Alter the environment in which your relationship exists and change the priorities that dictate your time and energy.
So if you have a husband that is no good, he may be like the husband that I'm going to share with you right now.
Well,
are y'all listening to me? This old drunken husband went to the bar one night, and he and his drunken friends made a bet of who had the best wife. I'm going to get right back to you right now in a few seconds, because I'm going somewhere with this. You heard it before.
Yeah.
Well, that's all right. Don't tell anybody. And it's 12 o'clock midnight now, and the first man, you know, who made the bet, they went to his house, and his wife was asleep. He said, "Woman, get down here and fix us some food. I want you to think about yourself being married." And she hollered down, "Let the same dough hit you that brought you in here. That's not you. Because you're changing for Christ." Amen. Can't be you. 1 o'clock a.m. in the morning. And they're at the second man's house. He said the same thing to his wife as she slept. "Woman, get down here and fix us some food." She took a lamp at the top of the stairs and threw it at his head. That can't be you. You're a Christian woman. It can't be you. It's 2 a.m. in the morning now, and they're at the third woman's house. And she's a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Help me, somebody. And he said to his wife the same thing. Woman, get down here and fix us some food. Her response was, okay, honey. I'm talking about you Seventh-day Adventists. You can't be a part of the first two groups.
Oh, no.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And before long, she had cooked her husband's favorite meal. What kind of meal?
Favorite.
And those old three drunken men sat around her table and ate themselves sober. She didn't even go back upstairs to get back in the bed. She sat over in the corner waiting to see if there's anything else she could do for these undeserving men. Was she a good Christian?
Yes.
Don't you want to be just like her? Don't you want to be just like her? Say yes.
Yes.
Say yes.
Y'all gonna challenge me.
And to resist this is to resist the attitude of Christ. Are y'all listening to me? How many times do we sin? And how many times does he take us back again and again and again? Of course, her husband won the bet. And when the other two men left, he looked at his Christian wife and he said, sweetheart, why do you treat me so good when I treat you so badly? And she looked her husband in the eye and she says, because I determined a long time ago that this is the only taste of heaven that you will ever experience. And I decided to make it a little heaven on earth for you because I'm going to a place where you can't go. Did y'all get that?
Yes.
You sure? Does it resonate with you? Mm. Mm. You don't have the luxury of being one of the first two. God says, change your ways. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Love people. So this is about you. This is your environment. And you can create the type of environment that you want. That's what it means to influence people 97% of the time. Now let's get into some of the details. Your goal is what, everybody?
Dignity.
What is it?
Dignity.
And what else?
Respect.
What else?
Emotional integrity.
That's where you're headed. You have something in mind that you're trying to do. And don't be caught up by these myths of life. The first myth is, a great relationship depends on a great meeting of the mind. Let me tell you something. If everybody thought like you, everybody else would be unnecessary. That's including your husband or your wife. Amen? But we never argue. Well, one of you is unnecessary. So you're sitting around waiting for everybody to agree with you? Who are you? You're not God. Did you get that? So the fact of the matter is, that's a myth. So stop looking for it. Myth number two, a great relationship depends on great romance. Lord have mercy. I was told a story. I hope you don't mind me sharing your story. I was told a story of a lady that stayed with her husband 50, how many years?
51 years.
And when he would come in all tired from work and wanted to give her a hard time, she would look at him and say, "Get it all out, get it all out." If I had a problem, I would do the same thing. Get it all out. I've heard some experiences in here that really touched my heart. I'll be talking about it for the rest of my life. Get it all out. So from now on, I don't care where I am. I may be in Africa someplace, but I'm going to be telling the Africans, get it all out. Praise be to God. So that's a myth. And people are looking for these fairy tale type relationships. Myth number three, a great relationship requires what? Great problem solving. And I've already spent time with this one talking about how to deal with disagreements. So I'm not going to spend the time with this one again. But if you've been here, I've already shared with you how to deal with issues. Because you will have issues. But how you deal with them depends on how successful you're going to be. And when you think in terms of issues, fight the problem and not the person. So it doesn't make sense to get all upset with the person to the point that you stop speaking to each other and all kind of stuff like that. Because now you're fighting the person and not the problem.
Amen.
And if you don't fight the problem to get rid of the problem, then the problem stays with you.
Amen.
And so some people come for a divorce over simple issues.
Yes.
Because they're fighting each other instead of the problem.
Amen.
Now the way you fight the problem is to first of all identify it. You can't do anything in the heat of the moment, so give yourself a rest. Have a time out signal. And no matter whether the wife or the husband gives the signal, when the signal is given, everybody shuts up. And the person that gives the signal has the responsibility to bring up the discussion whenever the air is clear. And when the discussion is brought up, whatever the problem is, list it. Write it out, and then brainstorm. Husband and wife shoot solutions to the problem.
Amen.
When you have all of the solutions you can think of, then you're going to be happy because whatever the solution to the problem is, it's on the board. And then it's a matter of eliminating and getting down to the best solution to the problem.
Amen.
And when you get to the best solution to the problem, I hope you're not so arrogant that you would say it has to be my solution.
All right.
And if you come to a gray area, you see, people, I've been doing this all over the world. When you come to a gray area and, you know, and you have two solutions to the problem, and you can't determine which way to go, then give the woman what she wants. Why did you say that, Pastor? Why did you say that? We're down to two solutions, and one is mine and one is hers. Why should I give her hers? Because you are her protector.
All right.
And she should come to you for everything that she needs, especially emotional needs. And God says, here's what God says.
Mm-hmm.
Have mercy, Jesus. Come up here, Elder. Just stand over here. He represents God. Come here, sweetie. I'm just going to illustrate it to you. This is the way it ought to be if you come down to two and you can't decide. Here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that a woman ought to respect her husband, but a husband ought to love his wife.
Amen.
It says if she has a need, she comes to her husband and she requests what she needs. Do you see this?
Yeah.
This is what the Bible teaches. And if I give her what she needs, let's assume she wants my last $100 bill. Are y'all still on the same page with me? I don't care what it is, God says I should give it to her. But what if she's just going to waste it? You mean I married a woman that's not frugal? So it's my fault. Well, if you give her everything that you have, what are you going to do? I'm going to lean on Jesus. And what does he say? He says, I own a cattle on 1,000 hills. Everything belongs to me. And when you have a need, son, come to me. And I will satisfy your need. That's what it's all about. Thank you, too. So I just took away all of your excuses. You don't have one left. If you do, share it with me. You don't have an excuse left. Either you believe in God and believe he will take care of your needs, or you don't.
Wow. No way out.
There's no way out. Have mercy, somebody. Now, ladies, don't take advantage of this. Don't take advantage of this. Don't run out. Husband, give me all your money. I'm going to the mall. Help me, somebody. So this is what the Bible teaches. You know, we come to the Bible, and many times we come to the Bible, and we look to the Bible to find information that we can give to others. But God wants to change us. It's about the individual. And when the individual is changed, others will see the change in you. Myth number four. A great relationship requires common interests that bond you together. Oh, not really. My wife, whew, Lord help me, Jesus. She loves cultured things.
Okay.
If I might put it mildly. She loves operas and... You know, all of the soft things of life, amen? I can't stand them. See, you but you should go. You can't change me. Only God can change me. But God said to me for her birthday, your wife loves operas. Get some tickets. Get the best seat in the house and take her to an opera. And I sat there and discovered that it's not that bad. So I'm going to take her again. The first time was for her, the next time is going to be for me. Help me, Jesus. So you know, I'm analytical in the way that I approach life. I tear everything apart and put it back together.
Amen.
My wife is a realist. Now, and I think she's an idealist. She thinks she's a realist. But I think she's kind of idealist because she has a big picture of everything. That's the way she sees life. But then she wants, you know, to see results. So that's a realist. But I'm an analyst, and I analyze everything, and I can't stop myself from being an analyst. I could not be a realist even if I wanted to be one, because that's not the way I function. I have a scientific mindset, so I tear everything apart and try to put it back together. And so here we are. There are only five ways to think: synthesis, idealist, realist, pragmatist, and an analyst. You can't think any other way. So you are one of the five in the way that you approach life. And if you expect everybody to approach life in the same way that you approach life, then you're headed for real trouble. Because people are not identically the same. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So I need a realist to keep me on track, because my ideas will get so big. Sometimes it may not even be reality. Yeah. Oh, I have to go back through them all again, otherwise I won't get them straight in my head. A synthesis, and let me just talk about a synthesis. a sense that there's some in here right now, and there's some on your board, Elder, and they will try and get person A to arguing with person B so that they can come up with idea C. So the bottom line is they always want to come up with their idea. That's the synthesis. And they will start arguments. And then an idealist has one big picture. They think that everybody in the church ought to think the same way that they think because the way they think is the right way to think. And then let's assume you're trying to build a church. The realist won't give you a dime until you show them the first brick. And then the pragmatist, oh Lord, they will look at everybody's logic and try to come up with the best logic for the whole program. And then you got analysts like me, and they want to know everything about it. They want to know how much money you're going to spend, where you're going to spend it, what color everything is going to be. You know, they're going to cut it up, dissect it, and put it back together. And you got those people in every church. And sitting in this church right now, you can look at it a different way. You have your kinesthetics, and they're sitting up front. And they're sitting up front because they want to be in touch with me. Because I'm standing up talking. So they identify with me. When I came in, I was trying to set up. She's constantly talking to me. Because she is identifying with me. And then you folks sitting in the middle back there, you are what we call the pictoric ones. In other words, you want me to paint a picture. So if I was a little theoretical, theatrical, then I would paint a good picture for you. Jesus is a mighty good God. See him on the cross of Calvary. See him with his nail-pierced hands. Watch the thorn on his brow, and you could literally see that picture. And then you folks back there in the back, y'all are audios. Y'all want to analyze all of the rest of us in front of you. You don't want anybody to be too close to you. Because you're kind of guarded. But you want to know everything about everybody else. So if you're a good pastor and you're preaching a sermon, you got to preach it in all three modes. Otherwise, you're going to miss a part of your congregation. And that's why most of our sermons, those of us who know what we're doing, most of our sermons, especially if it's a biblical sermon, then you're going to find it's basically in three parts. Identifying with all three segments of your congregation. But that's not the same thing when you're dealing with a topical sermon and you're just going from text to text to text to text. Whole different approach. Now, where was I? I'm a sanguine. Caloric. Myth number four? You mean that's all like for us? Okay, well let's move on because I got a lot to cover. A great relationship is what? Wrong. It is determined by what? If you argue to win, let me see. Whenever you get in a fight with your mate, how many of you argue to win? Would you raise your right hand? Don't tell them, Sue. Don't tell them. I want to see who they are so I can straighten them out. So you argue to win. You argue to win. Are you pretty good at it?
Yes, but I don't because there's consequences.
You got a smart wife. You got a smart wife. But see, you need to think about it. If you argue to win, then what does that create your mate into being? A loser. And how many of you want to be married to a loser? So why do you argue to win? You argue, and maybe not even argue, you discuss to find a solution to the problem. So stop creating a loser, because I don't see your husband as a loser, all right? That's my friend. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
A great relationship lets you what? Why is it that we hurt the people that is closest to us the most? Why do we do that? Why would I want to hurt my beautiful, intelligent wife that I love so dearly? Why would I want to hurt her? And to put a negative connotation against someone that they themselves may not even be thinking is unfair. In order for me to dislike her, I have to point and make her a villain. Mm. And if I make her a villain, what am I seeking to become myself? Can you see this invisible triangle that I'm drawing here? It has three characters: a villain, a victim, and a hero. So if I have to make her a villain, maybe it's because in my own psyche, I need to be a victim. And why would I want to victimize myself? If not a victim, then maybe I want to be a hero. I just want to come in on my big stallion and rescue the world. And that triangle is nothing but drama. That's all it is, drama. And some people love drama. They live in drama. Mm. And that's why they're unhappy. Now, don't y'all want to talk to me? Don't you want to talk to me? So I create my own reality. And most of the time it's based on my own needs. Take care of my needs and my reality will change. You want them to agree with you 97% of the time? Take care of your needs and your reality will change. Your husband will never disagree with you if he knows that your reality is like Christ. Your wife will follow you to the moon if she knows that you're following Jesus.
Amen.
So what are we going to do? Change yourself and you can change the world. A great relationship has nothing to do with sex. How many of you were in here to listen to my rice discussion? How many of you know about rice and cheese? Let me just see you raise your right hand. Oh, well, I feel sorry for the rest of y'all. Y'all missed it.
One more time.
Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, no. I don't have the time to do that. I don't have the time to do that. But if you miss rice and cheese, talk to somebody that was here, all right? But a great reality, and this is what I really want you to focus in on. If you have a what?
Good
sexual relationship in marriage, it accounts for about how much of your happiness?
10%.
But if it's bad, it's how much of your problem?
95%.
So men need to give women more love and appreciation. Women need to give men more sex in marriage. Most men in marriage are starved. Most women in marriage, and maybe I should take the word most out and put a better word in to make it a little bit better. But most, I can't get rid of the word most. But some. Some women are not getting the love and appreciation that they deserve. And when they don't get love and appreciation, they don't feel very sexual.
Amen.
So it's a myth. They think that it shouldn't matter. Who told you that? It does matter. And it's not just for procreation. Why are y'all so quiet? Is it because pastors talk about sex? He must be a heathen up there. Well, I'm leaving Canada, so I'm just saying, and I'm retired, you can't fire me.
Your faith.
Let's move on. A great relationship cannot survive a flawed partner. That's not true. I would tell you the story of the old couple. Actually, I think I just did, yeah. I just did. And the end of that same story that I just gave you was this. The husband looked at his wife after she testified of the goodness of God. And he says, if that's the God that you served, then I want to serve him too.
Amen.
He got baptized. He stopped drinking. And he was a good husband.
Amen.
But it has to be God in us that brings about the change.
Amen.
Myth number 9. There is a right way and a wrong way to make your relationship great. No, it's your way. Whatever it takes in your life, whatever you need to give up and surrender, is what's going to make your relationship great. Number 10, your relationship will become great only when you straighten your partner out. Well, you're in a dream world.
Yeah.
You're never going to straighten anybody out. You will never find your knight in shining armor and your man in velvet and steel in the same person. That's a fantasy. That means when you were young, you read too many fairy tales. There is no Prince Charming, and you're not Cinderella. Can I get a witness? Isn't God good? Let's go on. So you must discover then your core consciousness. First, you must know your immature side. You know, a lot of us are still growing up. I'm a big boy in many ways. You must know your immature side. I'm talking about changing ourselves now. Through a negative attitude, we bring about everything that what? We want to eliminate. So I must change my attitude. Number 3. A bad spirit, what? Oh, Lord, I hope you don't have any of these bad spirits. Bad spirit number 1. You're what? You know what that means? Well, I bought you a gift for $2.
Yeah.
And here you come bringing me a gift for 25 cents. Bad spirit. Bad spirit number 2. This is what gets you in trouble. What is it, everybody? No one need to be told what their faults are. They know. And who died and made someone else the procurer of someone else's faults? And if you're constantly pointing out to me my faults, I'm not going to lack you.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
Right. Amen.
I'm going to stay as far away from you as I can possibly stay. Could this be why some men stay in the bar drinking beer? Could this be why some men stay at work and don't want to come home? Or could this be some women who are good women and all the thing their husband wants to do is fuss? And she's about peace. Some women don't like to argue. Do you realize that? They just want to be in a peaceful relationship. And here I come up with all of my foolishness. If you're a fault finder, get rid of it. Your husband does not need for you to tell him how bad he is. And your wife does not need for you to always be complaining about her food and the way she keeps the house and everything else. You're a fault finder, you're not going to have happiness.
No.
Oh. Wow. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Now, you're all Seventh-day Adventists, conscientious objectives. You're not an attack dog. You're not running around trying to start fights. If you are, that's a bad spirit. Bad spirit number four. Reason why you want to win every argument, because it's your way or the highway. That's a bad spirit. Wouldn't you agree? Nobody's right all the time. Bad spirit number four or five. You're what? You make me angry. I'm just not going to talk to you. I'm going to go silent. Yeah. Well, if you go silent, you're still fighting. Yeah. I don't want to be around you. Leave me alone. You're still fighting. Bad spirit. Bad spirit number six. Smoke and mirror. You bring up one subject, but you're thinking about something that happened 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And you can't let go. And my solution to that is let go and let God.
Amen.
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 Because when you carry it around with you, you are only hurting yourself.
Amen. Yeah.
Why would you allow something that happened 20 years ago to cause you to be in pain today? That's why some folks, to get out of one relationship, you need to give yourself a little time before you get into another relationship, because you're still stuck on the previous relationship. You've got to heal before you move on.
Amen.
Did that make sense?
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, it's after 2 o'clock, after 4 o'clock. Y'all tired? How you coming along?
Yeah.
It's okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number seven. You will not forgive. That's a bad spirit, because God will forgive us in direct proportion to our ability to forgive one another.
Amen.
You can't forgive, you won't be forgiven.
Amen.
Did that make sense?
Yes.
So we must forgive for our own sakes. Bad spirit. Number eight. You are the bottomless pit. That means you're a clinger. And you just zap up all the energy in the room. People don't want to be around you because whenever they leave you, they are exhausted. Can you imagine a room full of women, about five or six of them, speaking 25,000 words a day each, all talking at the same time?
How exciting.
And the reality of the matter is they all understand each other. And can you sympathize with a poor man that walks into that environment And all he hears is chatter. Lord, have mercy. I have just depicted my situation in some churches where everybody want to talk at the same time. And here I am trying to keep order. If it weren't for the Lord on my side. Bad spirit number 9. You're too comfortable. And this is where a lot of Adventists are.
Yes, sir.
We're just too comfortable in our religion. God is going to stir us up. There's going to be a shaking in the church. And those that can be shaken out will be shaken out. And make room for these new energetic Christians coming in on fire for the Lord. I don't want to be shaken out of the Adventist church. What about you? So I've got to give up my ways and do it God's way. Amen?
Amen.
And number 10, you've given up. These are all bad spirits. Whether they're in a relationship with another person or whether you're in a relationship with God, these are all bad spirits. And they have to be given up. So we should stop what it, read it, everybody. Stop being a contaminator and be a what?
Contributor
to your what? Know your what? Know who you're about. And no matter what type of audience you're in, be a contributor and not a contaminator. If you do that, you will influence people. And they will want to follow you 97% of the time. Amen?
Amen.
Values now. I want to give you a value system. Relationship value number 1. Own your relationship. Accept responsibility for who you are. And what you bring into the relationship. Choose your attitude. Choose your emotions and your feelings. Choose. Make a choice. Accept the risks in being vulnerable. And I'm being taped. I need to accept the risks. Now somebody's saying, the pastor's life was like that. Value number 3. Accept your partner. Faults and virtues. Focus on relationship. Friendship. People come into this church not because of how much we know and share of theology with them. They come into this church because of the relationship that we built with them. And when they come in based on a relationship that they built with another Christian, they will stay in the church over 85% of the time. They come in on doctrine. As soon as somebody else come up with another doctrine, they may shift. Yet we should teach truth but build relationships.
Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Promote your partner's self-esteem. Be there for the other person. You know, I never see this young lady right here. What's your name? I never did get your name. You? Yes, in the middle. Who is it? And the one in the middle there?
Doreen.
I never see Doreen unless I see Sheila and
Vi.
Vi. They're like the Three Musketeers. Amen. And Vi, just, she's so patient.
She looks after us.
And she's the right compliment for
Doreen.
Because Doreen speaks 50 words per minute, per day.
50 or more than that.
No, 50,000.
200,000. And Vi, yeah, praise the Lord. And Vi just sits there. That's why they're such good friends.
Yeah. Compliment.
It's talking about, I'm talking about building a relationship. Amen. It's, that's what relationships are all about. Aim your frustration. I missed that. I don't like to miss anything.
She says, I always say that we're all part of God. We're all the body of God. Our body. I'm the mouth. She's the ear. And this one friend of mine says, I think I'm the eyelash.
You're kidding. I like that. I like that. I guess we need to have a whole lot of ears around, huh? Praise the Lord. Aim your frustration in the right direction. Relationship principle number 7. Be upfront and forthright. People can tell a phony anytime, any day. And you'll always know whether a person has a good spirit or not. The little kids will come up and grab him. If the little kids shy away from your pastor, don't know why, ask me to tell you what comes next. And number 8, make yourself what? Did you get that back there in the pink? In the pink sweater bag. Did you get that? And who am I talking to again? Name? Chacha? Chata. Chatter. Chacha. Make yourself what? Happy rather than right. Allow your relationship to what?
Transcend
turmoil. Put what? Amen. You must take the initiative and commit to always giving your partner the what? Most positive stimulus possible. So you can make the difference in your relationship. And everything that I've shared with you here this afternoon boils down to this. You either what? Amen. Any questions? Amen. What time is it?
5:05.
So I got how many minutes? So let's talk about where we want to go tomorrow. You sure you have no questions?
I think you got your fingers skewed on that 10
and
9%.
Yeah, I only got 8.
10 and 9%. You think so? So what numbers would you give it?
60 or 70.
You think so?
Forget the 10.
60 or 70.
That's right.
All right, maybe I should adopt your statistics make a lot of difference. All right. Get no argument out of me.
You got 20 minutes left.
I got 20 minutes?
5:15.
All right. Now, he shared something with us. I heard something over here. What was that all about? No, I didn't hear anything over there. Any other questions? Now, what should we deal with tomorrow? I can deal with, well, I want to save the family altar until Friday, because I want to finish up with that. I could deal with ministering to a precious heart. Or I could deal with getting to know the man or the woman in your life. I could deal... and actually, if you look here...
You're going to do two different
Yes, ma'am, I guess. And because I want to show you this, all of these are different seminars. So I'm not going to run out. And if I had the time, this was a crusade out in California. No, I'm not going to deal with that one. And this one is in Jamaica. Calvary Camp Meeting right there. See that right there?
When was it?
This one, yes. In other words, I set up a bunch of seminars just for you.
Thank you. Well, I thought maybe you were having another one in Calgary versus...
Well, according to your pastor up here, I'm coming back next year twice.
Yeah.
I guess he will get the information out, so you need to talk with him.
Yeah.
And so that he can invite you to his church.
What we're going to do, because sometimes we don't want to do it in church. We'll do it in a central area.
Medicine Hat.
We do it in a central area where more people could come.
And somebody was suggesting that I start working a little bit harder than I have been because I'm retired. And the last two or three years I haven't done very many DVDs or anything like that. And because I'm in retirement now, it's not about money for me. And I don't have any DVDs, even though I'm doing these seminars all the time. I could have them. Very easily I could make them available. But in Canada, this is my new manager.
Yeah, I'm the manager here.
So,
you know, there was a pastor from Inter-America. He was specialist in family life. But all he used to do is just have his material and just give it. And one day at a general conference, as a delegate, he sat beside me. I said, you know, I read your material. I'm so impressed with it. Why don't you do something with it? And, you know, he did just that. And the conference across North America made a DVD. You know, he had the copyright and sent to every pastor doing family ministries across North America. It's tremendous. Having the information, we need to disperse it in the right way to all the churches. So even if you get the benefit, some financial benefit, praise the Lord, you could get a camper then.
You know, my attitude has always been
give. Yeah.
Give and it will be
given
unto you. God has been so good to me.
Amen.
I have no regrets.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so I haven't thought about the business side of it. I'm thinking more about the soul winning side of it. Mm.